correct her, say amen again. Amen. One more time for the Holy Spirit. Amen. We bless the Lord today. We thank God for all that God has done and all that God is doing, and certainly all that God is continuing to do in our lives. We welcome those of you who are coming into the household of prayer today, the visitors. Thank God for all of you and for all of the people who call this church home. Amen. Bless the Lord. We thank the Lord for Zion songs, for Amen. The Lord has blessed us with a great choir. Give God a praise offering for our choir. Praise God. And the Lord has blessed us through prayer and our own ability to go before the Lord. And we thank God for fervency of prayer. Sister Lorene Williams and all who stand to lead us to the throne of grace. And now we want to preach and proclaim the word of God. We are grateful for all that the Lord has done and is going to do through his word. So we invite you to stand to your feet now as we read what thus saith the Lord in the holy writ of God. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible in front of your pews. Look in front of your pews, and if by chance there isn't one there, look on with a neighbor. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 14. And in this fifth book of the Torah, this fifth book of the Old Testament, and some would even say this fifth book of the Bible, I want to read verse 22 and 29 of chapter 14, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22 and 29. Say amen. That text, to God be the glory. The Bible reads as follows. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. If you go down to verse 9, the text says, and the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you. Somebody say, bless me. May bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. Here is a reading of the Holy Word of God on this morning. May it edify and sanctify God's people. I would that you pray with me on the title of this sermon, Don't Miss Your Blessing. Don't miss your blessing. Let's pray together. God, we thank you today for another Sunday of worship. And even though an hour has gone off of our clocks, we are reminded that all time comes from you. And so we ask now that the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your eyesight. For you, Lord, are our strength, and you, Lord, are our Redeemer. We are grateful, dear Lord, for the fact that you have kept us through another day's journey, through another week's journey. And now, dear Lord, we simply ask that you would hide us behind the cross and cover us under the blood. Bless us and keep us, we pray. And may someone leave here different, convicted, encouraged, informed, in the name of Jesus. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We're grateful today for another opportunity to stand and to continue this sermon series that we've been talking about around our stewardship of time, talent, treasure, resources, that which God has entrusted into our care. How many of you picked up your envelopes this morning out in the back? And if, well, a good number of you did. Praise the Lord. And if you pull that envelope out, pull one of the envelopes out, I want to just share a little bit with you about that envelope, and particularly the scriptures on it and why we decided to put those scriptures on the envelope. So if you have your box of envelopes, some of you may have gotten them yesterday, if you brought one of them with you today, and I'm not sure, Wayne, if we have the additional attachments we can show up on the screen. But even if we don't, let me just talk a minute about the envelopes. It feeds into today's sermon. We made a decision at the end of last year that we would do away with these two collection, the outside collection plates, if you would, and just have one central basket that would be for the church. And that the premise being that all that we give out of our tithes would go into the central basket, and we would then use that to the best of our ability to adhere and do the things that God has called us to do. And so on this envelope, we put certain scriptures, and if you go down a little bit, go back up to the bottom of the first one, Wayne, right there. The first one is the text for today, Deuteronomy chapter 14, and it is a reminder. Again, it's hard to see it on the screen and see it on your envelope. I know that. It's a little tiny print on that envelope. But that scripture says the one we just read, right, that thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy hand. And it goes on to speak about certain folk being blessed. And at the end, it talks about the Levite, the stranger, the widow, the orphan, as well as the person who is faithful to the tithe. You, the person being blessed. Me, the person stepping out and giving God back that portion which the Lord has given into our hands. The scriptures on the back are out of other Old Testament and New Testament scriptures. Two are Malachi, and we know those scriptures, right? We say them. We used to say them in our offering statement, but I want to remind us, I say it every Sunday, right? That Malachi says, will a man rob God? Yet wherein have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I would not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, you shall not have room enough to receive. I haven't yet preached out of the Malachi text. That's coming. But I've preached out of the other text that's on here, Matthew 23:23, and that was several weeks ago. And then there are, an Isaiah text that we've shared also at the first of the year. So the whole purpose of the scriptures was to, again, tie in our notion of faithful stewardship, faithful giving, as the Lord has blessed us and as the Lord has given unto us. And so today's sermon is going back to the first scripture out of Deuteronomy, because it is the earliest scripture, one of the earliest scriptures that we see in which the Lord talks about the tithing charge, the tithing command. And today, what I really want to talk about is not so much just what you give. As I talked about last week, it really is how you give it, the attitude with which we approach the blessings of God, the attitude with which we realize and understand that everything that we have comes from the Lord. It's the attitude of believing that, as I said last week, we can't beat God giving no matter how hard we try. It's the understanding that God can and has opened the windows of heaven. And not only has he opened them, but he is pouring out blessings that we don't really have room enough to receive. And if you haven't had an overflow of blessings, I would challenge you, number one, to think about what you consider to be blessings.
Yeah, we tend to think perhaps it's material only or financial only, but as I always say, and I never tire of saying it, it is the attitude that, right, opening our eyes is a blessing from the Lord. Getting here this morning is a blessing from the Lord. And the list goes on and on. Having whatever you had to eat this morning is indeed a blessing from the Lord. The overflow comes in when you get things and blessings that you really didn't deserve to get. And that's blessings, right, that God has opened the windows of heaven. And then there are those material blessings that come our way. And there are those increased blessings that come our way, more than what we should have gotten. You may have just prayed for a job, but the Lord may have given you a promotion to be vice president. Amen. Or whatever the case may be. There are these moments in our lives where there is a flow of outpouring what we believe is from God that is far and exceeds, far and above what we could even think and or imagine. That's why last week's text spoke about the indescribable gift that the Lord has given unto us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I'm still on flowing from that word on last week where I left off, because even this week I've gotten some indescribable gifts, right? Every day the Lord is blessing me. He keeps blessing me, right? He opened the doors that I cannot see. He keeps blessing me. There's a song that we sing in the church, right? He keeps blessing me, and the flowing, the blessings of the Lord come in ways that are just indescribable, unimaginable, wonderful, extravagant in some cases. In some cases, they may not be quote unquote extravagant in the material or secular world, but they are amazing and wonderful nonetheless, because how many of you really believe that anything that comes from God is indescribable, is awesome, is wonderful? And so this notion of our increase is part of what I want to talk about. Increase comes in different ways, different forms, different fashions. And so the three words I want to posit into your spirit today is who gets blessed, why they get blessed, and wow, I just got blessed. Yes, right. Who gets blessed? It's right there in the text. Why they get blessed? And then I want to really conclude on this notion of maybe I missed that part of the text, and wow, you really are talking about the blessings I get because of the faithfulness of my faithfulness unto God. Amen, someone. And so let's start off with this text of the who. The who is very clear, and I'm going to actually start in reverse order and go from the latter scripture up back to the first one that I read, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse number 29. This scripture, part A, says this: and the Levite has no inheritance with who has no inheritance with you or portion with you. If you're reading your Bible, I just omitted a few words to ensure that we get the core pieces, the core part of the scripture on the screen. And the Levite who has no portion with you nor inheritance with you, the stranger, the orphan, the widow within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied. And so my premise out of scripture, I try to ensure that what I'm talking about from what I'm preaching is there in the word, taken out of the word, so you don't think I'm reading into the word, although right exposition of the word comes through illustrations and anecdotes and stories and some parables, but I want to make sure we're anchoring this back in the word. The word is really clear. Who gets blessed when we are faithful to do that which God has called us to do? And I want to spend a moment talking about that, because really, before we get to the notion of what are my blessings, I want to be clear that we understand we have a responsibility to be a blessing to somebody, right? The blessings that God gives us are not only for us. The blessings that God gives us is really to be a blessing to somebody else. Not only is God intending to bless you, but he's intending to bless others through you. And so your increase is intended to have an overflow effect, a multiplier effect, as they say in economics, to somebody else. My friend William Granville, Pastor William Granville, would say it this way: don't can get all you can and can all you get. the old imagery of, you know, canning and storing away for you, right? There's some folk who really have that mentality. Get everything I can. Get. And then whatever I get, let me store it up so I'm the only one that can get to it. And there's nobody else that can be blessed by what the Lord has brought into my life. And I am just convinced the more he gives to us, the more we ought to figure out how to be a blessing to somebody else. Now, some of you have matured and grown in your life to such a way that you have no boundaries on what that means to give away, right? Your basic needs notwithstanding, there are some who've really come to a point in their lives that whatever the Lord has given me, I'm in a mindset of trying to sow, going back to last week's sermon, sow into other folks' lives, plant into other folks' lives. God may have gotten you to a point in your life where you have gotten material and or financial, and you have simply said, going up to be a blessing to strangers and folk you don't even know, here, take this, because the Lord asked me or directed me to give it to you, and I don't want anything in return. This is not a quid pro quo gift, because I do know some folk who give quid pro quo gifts. Quid pro quo, Latin for this, for that. I give you this, but I really want that back from you, right? My dear sister, notwithstanding Bonnie Watson Coleman, Assemblywoman Watson Coleman, I don't call her a politician or Shirley Turner. I would call them stateswomen, because they are representing good statesmanship, good stateswomanship, if I can make up that word too, Bonnie, right? The notion that I'm not here for political reasons as much as I'm here for because I believe the Lord placed me here. And I'm trying to do what is right and justice and good and fair and equal to those who are under my aegis, my responsibility. But some politicians, not statesmen, are in it for quid pro quo. I want to get this for that. I give you this piece of legislation, I want you to give me that piece of legislation back. I do this for your constituents, I want you to do this back for my constituents. I bless you, I want you to sow into my re-election campaign. And if you don't give back to my re-election campaign, then don't be surprised when I don't vote for your piece of legislation. Quid pro quo. That's how a lot of politics work, but not every elected official is a politician, thanks be to God. And so this notion of quid pro quo, strings attached, is not endemic in God's words, because when the Lord blesses us, the only thing he wants in return is our faithfulness back unto him. And I might add, we also need to determine how we can be a blessing to others without having strings attached to those blessings. Amen, somebody. Right? The notion of God's blessings freely flowing into our lives. And as we then are taking care of our children, our families, our responsibility, that we then also have a responsibility to our neighbor. And so God has intended this to be real clear. Who gets blessed? There are those outside of you, you included, but those outside of you. And it is fascinating to me in the text in verse number 29, God did not say you get blessed first and then the Levite and the stranger and the widow and the orphan. No, he put the Levite, the stranger, the widow and the orphan before us in a notion that when we give back the first fruits, the best of what God has given us. The first, the tenth. The tithe is the tenth. But it's also intended to be the first, the best. Because a lot of us want to give God the last, and I challenge us to give God our best. Even in our time, don't wait till the end of the day when you've run 20 hours, and then you want to get on your knees and try to pray to the Lord. Because don't be surprised when you get on your knees that you're not fast asleep in the middle of your prayer. Our Father, a bunch of Z's flowing out of your prayer. In the morning when you are fresh, give God that time, right? The first of your paycheck, give God that first fruits. The first of your increase, right? When we are at our top, at our zeal, that's when we want to focus in on God and say, Lord, I want to give you the best that I have to give. This notion that we come into the church, right, dressed to the best in our nines and our best shoes and our best dresses and our best ties and shirts. And that's fine if you're really giving God the best in your spirit and your attitude. Because I don't want a dressed up person who doesn't give God the best. That's called a chameleon. Let me say that again. Folk who dress up for Sunday morning, but Monday through Saturday are really not attuning and attending to the things of God, is called, right, a chameleon at best. Some would say a hypocrite. They're more concerned about what other folk think about them as opposed to what God thinks. And God is saying, regardless of what other folk says, if you just focus on me and give me your best, I will bless you in ways that are indescribable. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. God, in this text, at the very beginning of the Israelite journey, the nation of Israel just got out of captivity in Egypt, now in the wilderness, on their way to the promised land. And God is saying, before I bring you into your blessings, I need you to understand that when I do bring you into your blessing was not intended to be solely for you. When I bring you out of the wilderness into your blessing, some of you are missing that point. When I bring you out of your challenging moments, your difficult moments, your moments of captivity and bondage, and when I get ready to bring you into the promised land, I'm about to cross you over. Some of you are still on this side of your blessings, but you're about to cross over. And God is saying, before I cross you over the River Jordan into your promised land, I want you to understand that when you get there, I want you to be a blessing to some folk who you're going to find over there. I love this text because God is always bringing me from here to there. And every moment he brings me from there, every there is not a negative place, even though I may perceive it to be a challenging place. Every there in the wilderness is a setup for my blessing. Every there in the wilderness is only a precursor to what God is about to do. Every there while I'm in the wilderness is only the knock before I walk through the door. Not getting the message, are you? Every there before I step over my bridge is only a bridge over to another place, another dimension, another environment in which God intends to bless me. So this journey of wilderness versus promised land is what's intended in the text. And the notion that we are in the wilderness in moments of our experiences lets me know that God always has me on a journey. And as long as I stay on the journey, God will get me to my destination. Remember the sermon before last, fasten your seatbelts, you're about to descend, but while you're descending, there may be some turbulence. But if you just have your seatbelt on, you can withstand the turbulence, and the captain will come over the airwaves and say, you have arrived safely at your destination. These images of promised land and air travel and all these other anecdotes that the Lord may bring to me and other preachers are simply stated and premised on the fact that God wants to take us and is taking us somewhere. And some of us need to decide whether we want to go on the journey. And if you want to go on the journey, there's some rules of the game. I don't even like to say that because it's not a game, right? It's a journey. There's some commandments of conduct. Maybe I can say it that way. And God says to his people, I'm going to bless you, right? First, not after, but first. And when you get your first blessing, give a tithe back to the temple. That tithe is to go to help the Levite. That's the priests. Those are the folk who are descendants of the tribe of Levi. Jacob had 12 sons. Zebulun and Judah and Issachar and Naphtali and Dan and all of these other sons, right, that we find there in the book of Genesis. These sons who make up the 12 sons of Jacob, who then become the 12 tribes of Israel. When they got, and those same 12 tribes moved from Egypt into the wilderness in orderly fashion. When you read the book of Exodus, you will find that God placed three tribes in the front, three tribes on the right, three tribes on the left, and three tribes in the back. 3, 6, 9, 12. The 12 tribes were given order, almost like a military battalion. They didn't just wander through the wilderness. They didn't just run over and through the wilderness. No, there was order in how they progressed through the wilderness. And as they stopped along every way, those three tribes in the front were given orders on how to set up their tent. The three on the left, the three on the right, the three in the rear. God is a God of what? Decency and orderliness. And as he was getting ready to take them into the promised land, he preached three sermons to Moses on the side of the plains of Moab. And he says to Moses, tell my people, and you know the subtext, Moses, you're not getting in, but I still want you to tell my people. Right? That's another sermon for why Moses didn't get in. But he was still the leader of God's people, and he was instructed to tell the people some instructions, some commandments of their blessings. And this one of them was this law of tithing. The Levite, bless the tribe of Levi because they are the priests and they don't have land to work to take care of their families, because their charge is to be a priest to the other 11 tribes. And as God would have it, right, how are they going to get blessed? The stranger, the folk who you don't know, who doesn't look like you, how are they to be blessed? They're not of your tribe. But if someone from another tribe wanders into or comes into your tribe, you ought to be a blessing to them. Right? That's the lesson for us today, that the church is not parochial to one race. This church is not parochial to one sex. This church is not parochial to one socioeconomic status. Whomsoever comes through those doors, we have to figure out how to be a blessing, right? Regardless of whatever the differences that you and I have, right? What are we to do to be a blessing to them when they walk through the door? First, spiritual. Secondly, material. And so the stranger, the second group of people to be blessed. The widow, the woman whose husband has died and she is economically vulnerable. How is she to be taken care of? Well, come to the temple and you shall be blessed. The orphan, the fatherless. Your Bible says fatherless, doesn't it? In verse 29. It says fatherless. Some Bible says orphan. Whichever way you look at it, it is the child who has lost his mother and or father, and their caregivers are no longer in their lives. In a moment, I'm about to bless James and Ferris, two beautiful children. We're going to call them up and we're going to bless them. Those two children are already blessed. They have been born into a family that is strong. Mother G, Deacon G, Ferris' parents and other caregivers, a strong support network. But there are some children who are not born into that kind of network. There are some children who don't come into the world with that kind of blessing. And I was one of those children, right, bouncing back and forth between hither and yonder. And yet I was able to find solitude and gratitude in the church of Jesus Christ. And so I am a living witness that when the church is a blessing to the children, come on somebody, you don't know how those children are going to grow up and be a blessing to somebody else. I like to think I've done a little bit of right in my life. I like to think I've come a good ways from where I started from. I don't feel no ways tired. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the world would be easy, but I just did not stop believing that God would not bring me this far to leave me now. Right? And so it doesn't always matter, and I say it all the time, it doesn't matter where you start. Whether you had the good support system or whether you don't, the temple, the church of God, the people of God has to figure out what does it mean to sow into the lives of strangers and orphans and widows and Levitical priests who are trying to be about the business of God's people. We've got to figure that out. And God already set it up. So that's the who. The who are those groups. The stranger, I can't reiterate this enough. The Levite, the widow, and the orphan. the stranger, the Levite, the widow and the orphan, the stranger, the Levite, the widow and the orphan, the stranger, the Levite, the widow and the orphan. That is our social responsibility. Whatever we drive up to Shiloh in, whatever we wear, it's all right to wear minks, all right to drive Jags and Mercedes and whatever you drive. It's all right to have all that. But make sure you don't forget about the stranger, the widow, the orphan, and the Levite. Make sure you attend and attune to the things of God. Hey, if the Lord has blessed you to drive a great car and live in an awesome house, to God be the glory. But you got to then figure out, the Lord did not bless me with all of this just so I can live high and drive high and wear this, but he blessed me that I might be a blessing to the Levite, the stranger, the widow, and the orphan. That's the who. The why. They get blessed. If you go to back now to verse number 22, it says, you shall truly tithe all of the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. So I started to put how they get blessed here, because it's through the tithe, right? If we don't do the tithe, the stranger, the widow, the Levite, and the orphan miss a blessing. If we don't do the tithe, a tenth of what the Lord has brought into our lives, we miss trying to be that blessing to the stranger, the widow, the orphan. But more than how, I'm concerned about why, right? Why they get blessed. And the why is because, number one, God saw to it to take care of our needs. And then we are to see to it to take care of others' needs. That's the why we get blessed. So the how, I understand, is through the tithe, right? That's clear. But when I understand the reason for my blessings, then I'm perhaps better suited to do the blessing, right? When I understand that, when I have that envelope, or right, as I give out of, and remember now, I'm talking about treasure, time, and talent. But I don't just want to leave out the treasure, because that's part of how the folk get blessed. I believe God can multiply the bread, but he's got to have some bread to multiply. I believe he can rain down manna from heaven, but there's been some condensation that have lifted up the water from the dew up to the clouds, evaporated form, and then rain it back down, right? There is something material that the Lord has created, and part of that is I can't feed folk just with my time. I can spend all the time with them, but if I don't have any bread to put into a hungry body, somebody's going to go starving, right? And so there is a material aspect of the blessing. And part of what I'm trying to say is the why we get blessed, or they get blessed, is to turn around and be a blessing to others. The why we get blessed is to turn around and be a blessing to others. It is a cycle. It is cyclical, in that our blessings first come from God, and you can't beat God giving no matter how hard you try. So the more he gives, the more he gives, the more you give, the more he gives to you. Just keep on giving, because it's really true. I simply believe that you and I cannot beat God giving. So the why we tithe is because God blessed you more than you're giving back to him. That's clear. And I want that to be seen in the text, that when you get your increase, then you are to give in this fashion. Now let me go to my last point, then I'll close, which is, wow, I get blessed too. Go back to verse number 29, the latter part of the verse. It says it in this way. 29b says, the end of it, right? That the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. I am convinced that too many of us focus on what we're not getting as opposed to what we've already gotten. too many of us focus on what we're losing as opposed to what you're getting in return. Too many of us focus on the negative aspect of our tithing as opposed to the positive aspect of what it means to be faithful unto the Lord. I am simply convinced that when we do what the Lord has commanded us to do, that ending part of verse 29 in Deuteronomy chapter 14 applies to our lives, that you might be blessed, not only in some of the work you do, but in all of the work you do. Just like I said last week, the modifier is that the Lord wants to bless you in all the ways of your hand. There is no misunderstanding that the Lord said unto Abraham that you shall be a blessing to all the families of the earth, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed because of you. There is no misunderstanding to what God said to Joshua. He says, wherever your feet shall tread, that will I give into your hands. You're not getting this point, are you? If you are truly living the life that is pleasing unto the Lord will bless you in all the ways of your hand, in all the things that you do. And even though you may not fully see the blessing when you want to see it, understand that the Lord is blessing you in everything that you do. I love this piece of the scripture because it lets me know that as I am faithful to God, God has already been faithful to me. I'm not looking for him to be faithful to me in the future. I'm thanking him for how he's been faithful to me in the past. And if I really dwelt on all of the blessings he's given me in the past, then it will shape how I see my future, because the same God that blessed me in my yesterday is the same God that can bless me in my tomorrow. I thank God today that all I've got to do is look back over my life and think it over and truly come to the conclusion that, Lord, you have been good to me. I didn't know how it was going to work out, but you blessed me then, and I'm just simply believing that you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if you did it yesterday, you will do it today. If you moved the mountain yesterday, you can move it today. If you built the bridge yesterday, you'll build the bridge today. If you made my enemies my footstool yesterday, you'll make them my footstool today. If you fed me yesterday, I know you can feed me today. Come on, somebody. If you clothed me yesterday, I know you will clothe me today. And even though I'm naked right now, I simply believe that you're not going to forget about me. You're not going to leave me. You're not going to dismiss me. But you've got me in the palm of your hand, God. And I'm going to stand on the promises of your word. I'm going to stand on the promises of your word. I'm going to stand on the promises. Even when I don't see them materializing, I'm going to stand. Anybody standing today? Anybody standing and seeing the salvation of the Lord? I'm going to stand and see your blessings. I'm going to trust in you with all of my heart and lean not to my own understanding, but in all of my ways acknowledge you, God, and believe that you will, you can, and you shall direct my paths. Wow. You mean I get blessed? When I am faithful to the Lord, I get blessed. When I bless the stranger, I get blessed. When I bless the widow, I get blessed. When I bless the Levite, I get blessed. Thank you, Lord, for my blessings. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm just doing what you told me to do. Thank you, Lord. I'm not expecting anything in return. But when you sow into somebody else, you look at how God sows into you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody been blessed because of your blessing? Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I believe it, God. In the name of Jesus. I'm standing on it, God. In the name of Jesus. I'm trusting in it, God. In the name of Jesus. I'm not going to doubt you, God. In the name of Jesus. That is my faith. In the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Miriam, Deborah, and Ishmael. That is my faith. In the God of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the God of Eunice, and Lois, and Aquila. That is my faith. In that God that has never forgotten about me. And I trust that all of us here today who believe in that God will understand that I don't want to miss my blessing. So I'm going to be a blessing as the Lord has blessed me. Another church, amen. Church, amen again. And one more time for the Holy Spirit. Everyone standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess and clergy, and invite you to go out and stand in the aisle and help me to invite someone who doesn't know the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost like you and I have come to know him. I cannot speak for other faith traditions, but what I can say is that I believe that you can have a personal and intimate relationship with God. I believe that. And I've come to believe that through what these scriptures say, that through his son, Jesus, I come to know him intimately. And I don't want to just have a God that is external and impersonal. I really revel in the fact and treasure the fact that God has allowed me to know God personally and intimately. It is my prayer that someone else would come to know that God personally and intimately. The choir is going to sing and the invitation is extended. There are two invitations. Number one is if you are a Christian already and you don't have a church home and you're looking for a church, a family, a community of faith, I invite you. Come join Shiloh. We're not a perfect church. I don't make any bones about it. But as I tell everyone that have joined in the last 12 years, we're trying our best to love God, love his people, love his word, and then love his people. So if you're a Christian and you don't have a church home, why don't you come? Secondly, and most importantly though, if you don't have a relationship, I want to extend an invitation for a relationship with God in the name of Jesus. And I believe you can have that intimately and personally. Go ahead and sing, choir. As they say, the invitations are extended. Anyone here today? Anyone here today? Anyone here today?
I felt like I just.
Anyone here today? Somebody give God a praise offering. God bless your sister. Isn't God good? Look at God. Give God a praise offering. Come on, someone.